There's a movie featured a man in a comatose state for a prolonged time, and his parents were worried. They were very worried because he was their only child, and they hoped that he would continue on their lineage. But his girlfriend was more positive for his recovery, so she whispered to the ear of her unconscious boyfriend. She said, "Honey, wake up. I miss you so much. If you don't wake up, I will marry someone." And the unconscious man started moving his hand. After a few moments, he woke up. Few months later, they got married and lived happily ever after. The end of the movie. According to experts, the brain of a comatose patient has some kind of auditory perception that can respond to sound, particularly familiar voices. Comatose patient could respond and may recover faster when they hear familiar voices or voices of their family, their loved ones. Talking to comatose patients is also encouraged. Together, let's reflect on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. "You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. Formerly, we were comatose patients spiritually. How? We gratified the craving of our flesh when we followed the instinctive desires and thoughts. We cannot behave in righteousness when we follow our sinful nature. By God's grace, the Lord whispered to our spiritual ears, and we heard his voice. He gave us faith so that we believe in Jesus Christ. And by faith, we were born into the spiritual realm." Seriously, internalize what it announced in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with God, with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved." God is righteous. He decreed eternal death as punishment for people who violate his law. Eternal death is separation from the presence of God. And we were once violators of God's law. We deserve to be separated from God. So we should repent of our sins to prepare the way for Christ to transform our life and follow his perfect plan for us. Let's learn from King David in Psalm 66, verse 18. And he said, "If I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Sin is the reason the Lord would not listen when we pray. Sin covers the ears of God. First, we should repent. Why? Repentance proves that we sincerely desire to follow Christ our Lord. We can only follow Christ after we repent of our sins. Unless we repent of our sins, we can never follow Christ, because sin means that we are following our sinful desire, not God. God forgives us when we sincerely repent of our sins. God knows that we need his grace. And at the cross, God sent his most precious son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from the penalty of sin on account of his great love for us, to redeem us from the pressure of sin so that sin cannot control us anymore on account of his great love for us. He redeemed us from the presence of sin, and when he returns, we will never sin again on account of his great love for us. Let's read again verse 12 and the first part of verse 13. So even though I wrote to you, it's neither on account of the one who did the wrong nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before God you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. But all this we are encouraged. Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians on account of their devotion to him in this mission team. And some of the Corinthians told Apostle Paul, they reported that there was a spiritual problem that divided the church in Corinth, and he addressed their problems in his letter to them, in his first letter. And there was godly sorrow. That godly sorrow among the Corinthians produced repentance in among them, and Paul heard about it, and he rejoiced. When Titus arrived, he also mentioned, he told Paul and his team that the Corinthians longed for him, that the Corinthians yearned to see him. It encouraged Paul and his team, despite of the many challenges in the mission ministry. At the time, they were harassed left and right. Wherever they went to share the goodness of salvation, they were harassed. But when Titus came, he was encouraged that the work in Corinth had fruitful produce. Religious or not, anyone needs encouragement from time to time. We are discouraged by situation, bad situation that may happen in our lives. And how do you normally get encouragement when you are in deep sorrow? Do you quickly pray? Do you quickly find peace and comfort from Jesus Christ? If so, that could be a practical testimony you can share with somebody. The song Eagle's Wing, we love to sing that, and we sing that the other night when it says, "Hide me in your love." Can you sing with me? "Bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me. I will rise on eagle's wings." This song, Eagle's Wing, has been inspired by Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Let's read together. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God gave eagles that ability to fly high, soar high in the sky. And confidently, eagles glide high in the sky. Eagles are natural examples of God's specific plan for everyone. Not every bird can soar high like eagle. Even though they have wings, they cannot reach the highest sky that eagles can. Have you explored yet? Have you explored how God designed you to soar high? God did not make you to be just mediocre. So have you reached your best potential? How can you reach your best potential? Discover the spiritual gift that God gave you. You reach your best potential when you follow the will of the Lord and use the spiritual gifts that He gave you. The eagle was not created to swim, although sometimes maybe they try to swim, but they just cannot excel in swimming. They excel in flying, soaring high. Fish, there are fish that tries to swim. That's why it is called, there are fish that are called flying fish. And they try to fly for a distance, but they cannot soar high like the eagle because God has specific talent that He gave them. Even everyone of us, many young people in the past decade try to be like Bill Gates and try to be a computer experts, but they cannot be like Bill Gates or the other good computer experts. But they want to be, they want to follow until somebody who graduated in master's in computer science, but eventually discovered that he is much greater singing. He is much better in musical field. Well, was the computer expertise wasted? I don't think so, because that person can use it to upgrade his musical talents or musical computer needs. To reach our best potential, we have to follow the will of the Lord and use His spiritual gifts. Pray and discover your spiritual gifts. There's a movie about two siblings. One has passed the exam of being a teacher. She wanted to be a teacher, so she did her best to go and enroll, but later she quit. Why? She cannot withstand the demands of the school. Anyway, when we are able to reach our potential, we will speak and tell all the wonders God did for us. Let's reflect on Psalm 40 verse 5. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. That's a wonder of God. He uses the foolish to shame the wise. It's in the Bible. This was written by King David. King David was happy, praising God, being shepherd, but God did not allow him to be shepherd forever. For sheep. He became a shepherd for Israel. He became the greatest king of Israel, meaning probably what you are experiencing right now, God is preparing you to be something, but first discover your spiritual gift and follow the will of God. To declare the wonders of God, we declare that what He did in our life, how He transformed us, it supplements our mandate to witness. By faith in Christ, we trust that God diverts us to return to the righteous path, to His righteous path, when we are confused in which way to follow. When we are troubled, which way, Lord? Where do you want me to stay? Where do you want me to work? Where do you want, which career should I follow? Then pray, ask God, Lord, give me that practical step I should take to follow your will. And His grace sustains us. He sustains our practical needs here on earth and until eternity. In addition to our spiritual needs, it's not only spiritual needs. He also provides for our practical needs. Let's read again the second part of verse 13 and 14. In addition to our encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. Scholar agree that Titus was discipled by Apostle Paul. The problem in the Church of Corinth, there was this division, and it became public knowledge because the letter of Paul to the Corinthians had been circulated among the churches, and they came to know churches who read the letter of Paul to the Corinthians came to know the problem, spiritual problem, in the Church of Corinth. And probably Titus went and visited the church in Corinth to confirm if they have matured spiritually. And when Titus joined the mission team of Apostle Paul, he reported that the Corinthians had godly sorrow that produced repentance in them, and they matured spiritually. And Apostle Paul rejoiced. Apostle Paul was more encouraged. It was very timely update for Apostle Paul. It encouraged him and his team because of their challenges in the mission ministry that they endured everywhere. Certainly, it feels great to hear other believers talk about our activities in the church when other churches say about the Meeples Evangelical Church, it would be great to hear that. There was a time when this church became very popular even in the United States. If you don't know it, even the United States people, leaders, come to the Meeples Evangelical Church at the time of the peak of this church when the church was holding evangelism clinics. This church became popular all over Canada. But the problem was we focused on evangelism and forget about discipleship. Panic came and then discouraged because they were not discipled well. There should be balance, not just focusing on evangelism, but also we need to disciple those we evangelize, right? It's not only about being popular. It's about continuity in the ministry that we should value more. It is not also very pleasant to hear gossips about ungodly behavior that may confuse us. But when we find comfort in God, we are compelled to speak about His wonders. That love of God for us, that comfort of God for us, that is what we say. When you are in sorrow, when you are experiencing tragic situation or bad situation, but we all find that peace, we all find that comfort in God, you want to tell that to your loved ones, you want to tell that to your friends, so that whenever they face similar discouragement, they will find comfort in God. What wonderful experience do you want to tell others? If you have that wonderful experience, did you watch the NBA finals a few weeks ago? Did you watch game 4 of the NBA finals between New York Knicks and San Antonio Spurs? Even if you don't like basketball, let me share you. It was a heart-stopping game. By halftime, the Spurs were leading by 29 points. Halftime. And so there were still 24 minutes left, and they were leading 29 points. And with less than 10 minutes in the game, the Spurs, San Antonio Spurs, were still leading by 20 points. After the buzzer sounded to signal the game ended, who won? The Knicks celebrated their 1-point win over the Spurs. Don't be too happy and forget the game if there's still time. It was a historical moment for Knicks fans to talk about in many days or even years. Even commentators and writers, they say, this is the greatest team of the Knicks. I don't know about that. Maybe that is just exaggeration, but surely many spectators could feel sorry when one team leads by many points. Oh, they are leading by 29 points. Oh, there's no way the Knicks can overcome that. And some of them found their way out of the gym before the game ends. And then when they heard about the news, the Knicks won. It is easy to quit when there's little hope. When there's little hope, everyone is, many are discouraged and want to quit. But if there's still time, there will still be a glimpse of hope to hold on to, especially when we trust in God. The song we sang a while back articulated trust in God. It says, Battles Belong by Phil Wickham. When all I can see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I'm safe with you. And I love the chorus, actually, but never mind. I hope that is our closing song. Is it? Will that be our closing song? Yeah. You can sing that later. And so that you will not be confused by my voice, okay? Anyway, problem could wear us down. One comment. When I was listening with this song and online on YouTube, I feel like the singing in that church is much, much better to hear than the original. I'm sorry for Phil Wickham, but I thank him for that song. It's really good, but when singing in a group, there's so much a wonder that you can hear when more people are declaring the wonders of God, when more people are saying that all they can see is battle, but God see our victory. That is wonderful, wonderful. I hope you would really sing out your heart later. Anyway, problem could wear us down and drain our energy and undermine our confidence. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we've got confidence that He will help us overcome difficult circumstances. Amen. Together, let's read and be encouraged by what it challenges us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give all things? Interesting. This truth is presented rhetorically. It was written in question form. Why is it? Because it challenges us to reconsider. It challenges us to think deeper. We declare that as long as God is with us, no one can defeat us. No problem can topple us down. Yet struggle may defeat anyone, including believers. We claim that God graciously gives us all things, yet materialism is prioritized more often than not. And I tell you, even leaders, church leaders, and pastors, materialism overtakes anyone. And God is relegated to trivial relevance. It's a sad story, but we need to be aware. We need to be aware that anybody is not immune from materialism. The Corinthians did not prioritize the Lord. The Corinthians should be experiencing much of good materialism in their time, because the Corinthians was the center of financial district at that time. I think even now, because in Corinth, all ship would pass by Corinth. Merchants stay in Corinth. So everyone was blessed because there were merchants living in the inns. Merchants would be buying their local products. Merchants would be traveling in Corinth. There were more tourists in Corinth at that time than any other place. So they were materially blessed, but they prioritized their materialism, not the Lord. And Apostle Paul had to rebuke them. Apostle Paul rebuked them. So if you've read the First Corinthians letter, it's more about all the rebukes of Apostle Paul of the spiritual problems that the church in Corinth had endured or suffered. Their godly sorrow, however, when they read the rebuke of Apostle Paul, it produced repentance for them. And on account of their obedience to the Lord, Titus practically sends greater affection for them. Let's read again verse 15 and 16. And his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling. I am glad I can have complete confidence in you. The Corinthians must have learned that Titus was discipled by Apostle Paul, but some of the Corinthians did not want to follow Paul. They wanted to follow Apollos, they wanted to follow Cephas or Peter. But Apostle Paul rebuked them for their spiritual confusion. You are supposed to follow Christ, not me, not Apollos. Who am I? I planted the seed, Apollos watered the seed, but who made the plants grow. It's God who made you grow spiritually. This is why, be encouraged to follow Christ, not the pastor, not the leaders, because only we are just servants. Some of us are planters, some of us are just watering, cultivators, but God make us grow spiritually. Leaders cannot make us grow leaders. Pastors' sermon cannot make us grow. It may water, but not help us grow. It's God who make us grow spiritually. Put your loyalty to the Lord, not to the pastor, not to leaders. Titus witnessed the transformation among the Corinthians, and they even told him that they longed to see Apostle Paul. Affection to someone you care may grow greater when you are apart. When your daughter is away, you long for your daughter or your son. When they are with you, you may not sense that affection. But when they are living on their own, you sense that. When your friends are away, you long for your friends even more. Many among us came from the Philippines or came from your origin of country of origin, and you want to go home. Why? Your life here is better, but really speaking, but you still want to go home because you long. You yearn to see your friends, your relatives, your loved ones, your parents, your brothers and sisters. We do not need to be separated to sense greater affection for each other. We can be together and build greater affection and care for each other. Amen? Personally, internalize what it challenges us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. Let's read together. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is wise to understand the will of the Lord. It's smart to know the will of the Lord. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the will of the Lord, to be filled with the Holy Spirit instead of getting drunk on wine. Why is that? Why does the Lord wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? For us to understand His will. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to understand the will of the Lord. The Holy Spirit enables us to follow the right path of righteousness. He wants us to speak of our gratitude. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And next one, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs, spirit. We can only do that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We sing praise to God. We sing praise because we have something to praise for. And may the Holy Spirit produce love and joy and peace in us and smartly understand His will and follow Him. Do you know what LSS means? LSS. It's not Lorenzo Salong Senior. It's not. It's last song syndrome. There's no junior yet, so not no senior, right? But, or actually, I am Lorenzo Salong the second. So it's not that. It's last song syndrome, LSS. The last song we heard keeps ringing in our heart so that unmindfully we sing it over and over and over again. And I had that similar particular experience I used to listen to secular song. I used to listen to the Eagles song. Eagles. One of the Eagles song I like to sing is Hotel California. Do you know that? Do you know Hotel California? Lord, this is a highway. Did you know that I went and attended, joined a singing contest, a fiesta in our town. I attended and I was elected fifth of the winner, fifth. We were four. Just kidding, we were 10 actually. And then after the following morning, I heard my music teacher said, "Who was that person singing that song?" He was complaining, or I don't know if he was complaining or he was excited, but I heard that he had comment in my song. Among the good singers, I was the only one he commented who sang that Hotel California. When you sing that in a singing contest, I don't know, but I did sing. That's how secular I was. I don't have a good voice, but I am so, what do you call that? I guess I was drunk. I guess I was drunk. That gave me courage to stand there before the town mates and sing. I play my guitar and sing. I know that my friends, actually, I have friends. My friends are really good singers, better than me, far better than me. And they were the first, the second, the third, and fourth. And they took all the good prizes, my friends. Well, they are my friends. But when I look back on that, why did God allow it to happen? Why did? Because he wanted to show me that from secular person, he can transform somebody. That was before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And after Christ actively lorded over my life, I switched to Christian songs. Secular songs are relegated as optional. When I go and sing karaoke somewhere in Ronald's house, I try to sing and I still try to sing those secular songs. But the karaoke would say, "You are getting better." Oh, they don't have that. Yeah. Meaning, I'm not good anymore. You are getting better. I just smile. But when I sing, Christian song, the karaoke would say, "Awesome." How about that? Have you had that? You like singing in karaoke so that you have those comments from the karaoke. It's good, right? It encourages us to sing more. One of the secular, the LSS, last song syndrome it keeps ringing in my heart when I prayed to follow the Lord as my Lord and Savior more seriously, was the song, "He who began a good work in you." He who began a good work in you. And the other one is Refiner's Fire, "Purify my heart." Purify my heart. Can you click that? That's the first part. Oh, never mind. I think the buffering is not very good. Sing with me.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver.
purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Oh, thank you. That's okay. That's okay. You can go to your cell phone later and try to sing it yourself. But we live in Baguio City. In Baguio City, we live in the hillside. Baguio City is hilly, so our home is in hilly. And when I go to work, I walk up and down the hill to go to the jeepney stop or find taxi. But these songs, you know, that he who began a good work in you, it keeps ringing in my heart, and I sing without minding who is listening to me. And it feels like God was really speaking to me through the songs. God was preparing my heart and mind to firmly decide and serve him in full-time ministry. And I never regretted my decision to serve the Lord full-time. How should we respond after God purifies our heart? Together, let's learn from Prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Oh, who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. The story of this part is that Isaiah saw seraphim. Seraphim are associated as with the highest order of angels of God, and they are fiery, burning angels. When you see the seraphim, there's like fire surrounding them. And Isaiah was scared. He was scared because they know that when you see the angels of God, you will die. And he said that my mouth is unclean. I speak of unclean. I live in an unclean city, meaning they just use words, curse words. Whenever they speak, even they don't mind, they just say that bad word out of nowhere. And he said, his mouth is unclean. I'm doomed. I will die. He was scared, but he did not know that he was admitting that he is sinful, and that is repentance. To repent is to admit that you are sinful, that you do this bad thing. He did not know that. And the seraphim touched his mouth. And that is what the seraphim said. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. God forgave him. God made his mouth clean. And when the Lord asked, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, the response, here am I, send me. That is our response when we sense the forgiveness of God. To allow God to be, allow God to give us the word for us to testify of his goodness. So in the sense, send me, let me be your messenger. That was the start of the ministry of Prophet Isaiah. His sin was taken away, guilt was taken away, and he responded to serve the Lord. Ask yourself, has God taken your sins away? When God tells you, whom shall I send? Who will be leading the worship team? Would you respond and join the worship team? When God says, who will come and help Brother John clean the church? Would you respond and help come and join and clean the church building? when election in October comes, will you respond to the nomination of your church members when they nominate you as members of the Board of Trustees? Reflect on Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, when it says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." The Lord had been working in each one's life. And the way the Lord continues to work in our life is to respond to His calling. Whatever ministry God calls you, be sure that it is aligned with your spiritual gifts. Ministry is not relegated exclusive to church setting. Wherever God situates you, that could be the ministry God wants you to practice your spiritual gift. And the Lord continues to transform us until Christ returns and takes us into heaven. And as practical proof of our transformation, we are encouraged to serve, respond in serving the Lord like Isaiah. So pray that God would completely remove the guilt, the sin in your heart. Many times guilt controls us. But if you sense that guilt, meaning the Lord, it doesn't mean that the Lord did not forgive you. The Lord has forgiven you, but maybe you did not forgive yourself. Learn to forgive yourself. And you will gladly serve the Lord afterwards. We believers are set apart from worldliness to be light of the world. We are encouraged to discover our spiritual gifts and explore the glorious adventure that God designed for us. And then, after that, we testify about His wonders.